Blog Talk Radio.
Like what it says, he just passed through. And it's interesting, isn't it? At first they thought he sounded good. And then when he started getting close to home, touching their lives as it relates to himself, you know, then they came up with the same old story. Who does this guy think he is? I mean, he's just Joseph's kid. He's like nobody. But he knew the word. And from that word, he was able to address us and even address himself. So the scripture begins. This is prophetic from the book of Isaiah. It's prophetic and it's put upon Jesus. And Jesus knew that it referred to him. And so he's able to start that way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know, we think that, well, yeah, we know we need the Spirit of God in our lives. But did you know Jesus needed the Spirit of God in his life as well? And he knew it very well. Because in his daily life, when you follow Jesus throughout the pages of the Gospels, all four of them, you discover one thing that's unique in all four Gospels. And it's common in all four Gospels. And that is that Jesus was 100% dependent upon God. Even for what he said, because it's not, I only say what I hear God say. Even what he did, he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. He was 100% dependent upon God. He was a faith man. And he had no problem admitting that. And the words that he spoke were words of life, because they come from him who is life. And so the people said of him, nobody's ever spoken like this man. Nobody's ever spoken like this man. He doesn't talk like the rest of our preachers, the scribes and the Pharisees. And yet he didn't really say anything different. But how he said it was totally a different matter. No one ever spoke like this man. And in another instance it says, and the people were hanging were hanging on his every word. And still in another place it says, and the people were amazed at the gracious words that fell from his lips. And that's because it was the Word of God. See, the Spirit of God that had come upon Jesus at his immersion there at the Jordan River before John the Baptist is a Spirit that led him and guided him and sustained him throughout his earthly life. You remember how it says after the Spirit of God came upon him there at the Jordan River, the Father spoke, and then it says the Spirit led him into the wilderness. See, sometimes we think the devil brought him out there. No, the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God from that moment on led him, nurtured him, guided him, sustained him as he walked throughout his earthly life. But now the good news is, well, not that that isn't good news, so I shouldn't have put the but there. The good news is that there is that same Spirit who will lead each and every one of us and guide us and sustain us as we surrender ourselves to his leadership. Remember what the book of Romans tells us, that those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the sons of God who are led by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus. That same Spirit of the Lord is upon us who have yielded ourselves to him. But not only upon us, as Jesus said, as he told his disciples, you know him because he's been with you, but now he will be in you. So we're even one step ahead with the Spirit of God dwelling, indwelling us. Then the second little phrase I want us to notice is because he has anointed me. Because he has anointed me. I believe in our age, through some of the charismatic stuff, anointing has become something sort of unreachable, something unattainable, something that is for the elite. It's not a new problem. It was a problem that existed in the first century as well. And it's the problem that John addresses, particularly in the first epistle, because he says, you have the anointing. You have it. It's not something we attain to. It's something that the child of God who has surrendered to Jesus has. He says, you have this anointing, and you don't really need anybody to teach you something new, because he dwells within you, and he will reveal to you. I mean, we could have the most outstanding teacher, the most brilliant teacher that could ever be. They say the most brilliant preacher that ever lived was Chrysostom. But no matter how brilliantly he preached the Word of God, If you didn't rely on the Holy Spirit to interpret that word into your life, you just heard a religious speech and not the Word of God. He has anointed me. So I'll give you a few words. The word anoint is, the Greek word anoint is to smear with oil. It means to set aside someone or something for a special calling. You remember that when David had the articles built for the temple that eventually Solomon would build, it says they anointed them. They dedicated them. I guess we use that word more often. Dedicated or consecrate. But it means to smear. It means to soak. You know, we're so nice in our day. We take a little bottle of oil, we dip our little finger in it, and we put a little cross on somebody's forehead, and we call it anointing. Well, I mean, it's not the amount of oil anyway that matters. It's the amount of faith, or the faith in which one does it. But in the Old Covenant, you didn't get just a little dot. They poured the stuff on you. And I guess they didn't care that much about their hairdos. The oil was just poured. Remember, that's what it talks about in the Psalms, isn't it? It's like the oil poured on the head of Aaron and flowed down his beard and all the way down to the edge of his robe. I mean, that's a ton of oil. This anointing is what... Well, I'll get to that. So, to anoint means to smear. And see, the Spirit of God has smeared us with his presence, with the presence of the living God. We have been set aside. We've been called for a specific purpose. Just like we sing that song. In that army, we've got a part. But we can't all be colonels, and we can't all be generals. Somebody's got to be the militia.